As we start tonight, I thought that I would speak to you because here we are 3 days into the school year, the 53rd year of Santa Rosa Christian School that started in 1962, 53 years, and I've noticed there was a lot of excitement as the new year began with some people. I see on Facebook and social media and things like this, a lot of the new moms who were putting their children in school for the first time, there was excitement, there was sadness, comments, all these kind of things that I really just kind of look at and I go, they're only there till noon. I mean, what's what's the big deal? But you know, it's a big momentous event. And so it was really exciting. Now, I know there were some that dreaded it, James, Abigail, Jennifer, people like that. I hope not the teachers. But there was an sense of excitement of the new year start. And so I thought about something that a verse of scripture that a few years ago I came across and read, and I began to think about it and think about how it relates to our ministry here. And I thought I would speak to you about that tonight for just a few minutes. The title of my message tonight is called Taught of God. Taught of God. And it involves a verse in John chapter 6, and we'll get to that in just a minute. But I just want to just mention, first of all, as we think about the school year starting here, that our purpose here at Santa Rosa Christian School is different than the other schools that are out there, the worldly schools that are out there. Yes, this is a place of academic learning. This is a place of academic education. That's a place where children receive their foundation for the rest of their lives. But there's more importantly, there's something else going on here. There's a higher purpose going on at this school, and that is that we have teachers, administrators, staff that are teaching eternal lessons to these children that are here. Eternal lessons, eternal things that will carry with them the rest of their lives. And it's important for the teachers to understand, and I think you know this, but I think sometimes what happens is that we all get into our routine of our lives, and it's easy to overlook and understand the importance of what you're doing. The ones that are here in this school and this ministry, you are here in the place of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ teaching lessons to these children. And I'm going to show you that tonight. I'm going to show you that from the Word of God. So you have a higher calling. God the Father has placed you in this school for the specific task of imparting spiritual teaching, spiritual truths to young people who are here. Do you grasp that? That is an awesome responsibility. You have something that the rest of the world doesn't have. You have truth. Truth. Now, let me give you the definition of truth. Truth, this is a theological definition. Truth is the way things really are. It's not what you think they are. It's not what you hope they are. It's not necessarily what you believe they are. Truth is the way things really are. There is truth in the Scripture. There is truth about creation. There is truth about how we got here. There is truth about what we're doing here. And it's contained in this book, the Word of God. And we have the opportunity at this ministry to impart that truth to young people every day of their lives for this school year and for some people throughout their entire elementary and high school education. That is an awesome responsibility. I thought of that as I read this week. I read a verse, two verses in 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Speaking of the fact that we have eternal, thinking of it in light of the fact that we have eternal souls here in this school every day. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, Scripture says this, "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Folks, that's going to happen to those who don't accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. And those children are in front of you every single day. So we are giving them academic training, but we're also presenting to them eternal spiritual training. And they will either accept that or they will not accept that. That's not your problem. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is the training, is the teaching. I want to look tonight and transition over to John chapter 6. If you'll turn with me there, John chapter 6, that is a very well-known passage of Scripture, because in John chapter 6, we have what is commonly referred to as the feeding of the 5,000. And in John chapter 6, I'll go ahead and we're going to look at this chapter from the beginning of it. We'll briefly go through it to set the scene. But in John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus says something that caught my attention some years ago. And I thought about it in relation to this ministry. John chapter 6, verse 45, Jesus said, speaking to those who were murmuring against him, "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me." In John chapter 6, let's set the scene here. We have the feeding of the 5,000. We all know that story. It's a children's story. It's been told all through the ages. But it's just a remarkable story, a remarkable story of how Jesus literally created food to feed what the Scripture says, 5,000 men. It's estimated that crowd could have been anywhere from 15,000, 20,000 people or more, because the Scripture says 5,000 men. But he literally created food, taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I can't help but read that story. And pardon me for just a minute. I can't help but read that story, though, and think of last year when we were at our last night at Gators, and I was sitting there 1 hour into the night, and we had a flood of people that I did not expect, could not have anticipated. And we were back there in the kitchen, and there was the fish began to go down so quickly. And we made a call to Dad and to the fish place to pick up more fish. And I was sitting there, and this, I promise you, in the madness of all of that, this passage of Scripture came to my mind, and I said, "Lord, you fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and I feel like Andrew right now saying, looking at this pile, this pan of fish going down, down, down. I said, but what are they among so many? I said, that's the way I felt. And we're relying on Dad to bring more fish down, and Dad used to be able to shake a leg and move pretty quick, but he doesn't move fast anymore. And we were there, and I say this story to just basically tell you this is a praise to the Lord. It was an amazing thing. Within an hour, we were almost out, and I didn't know what we could do. We had really more than we normally have as far as supplies of fish and everything, but it was just one of those things where there were crowds of people, and they were all ordering the same thing. And I just said a prayer, and I said, "Lord, you fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know what I'm going to do. We have a stack of tickets here. We got a place full of people. What are we going to do?" And it was amazing. The next 10 tickets all ordered something totally different. And literally, when I was down to my last fish, James said, "Here's Mr. Gator." And he came in with a fish. And I sat there and praised the Lord. It was an amazing, so I can't help but read that story. And it has a personal application to me now. And I say that, and you may not supposed to pray those prayers about, "Lord, if you get me through this, I'll never do this again." But I did tell him, I said, "Lord, if you get me through this, I promise you I'll buy more next year." So I've been saying this week, "Hey, I've got to have more. I've got to have extra. I don't care if I have to give them away. I'm not getting caught in that position again." But anyway, we've got this, we got back to our story, and excuse me for that aside there, but we have our story here that Jesus fed the 5,000, and the point of that, what that's set up as the chapter moves on, is the following day Jesus crossed the Sea of Galilee, went into Capernaum, and it was there that he gave his great discourse on the bread of life. And he explained, and he used that day's previous miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, we call it. He used that as a illustration and to apply spiritual truth that he was the bread come down from heaven, that to feed upon him would give you eternal spiritual life. Yesterday was about physical life. This is spiritual life. But the passage of Scripture reveals that the people really didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to know that, because it basically says in the Scripture that they didn't receive him because they were there for the feeding. They wanted more food. That's what they were there for. But that wasn't what he was there to do. He was there to give them spiritual truth. And as the passage moves on, I want to pick up in verse 35, and we'll look at that. And it says, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41, this is the key to this passage. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. This, the key verse here, verse 45 that we're looking at tonight, in the immediate application of this, what those people were doing was they were questioning the deity of Jesus Christ, because he said, I came down from heaven. And they said, we know his mother and his father. How is he saying he came down from heaven? And Jesus responds with just an incredible statement. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh to me, unto me. He reiterated the fact that he was from the Father. He was there speaking on the Father's behalf. He was there giving them spiritual truth. And they could not accept that spiritual truth and believe that spiritual truth unless the Father revealed it to them and drew them. And that is what he's saying. Now, in the immediate context, that's the passage. For us tonight, in our application tonight, as I look at that verse of Scripture, I think about us as teachers. I think about us as staff. I think about us as supporters here of Grace Bible Church and Santa Rosa Christian School. Jesus Christ is not here on this earth anymore. He's in heaven. What has he done? He has given the responsibility now today of teaching to those who are his own, those who are here. We all individually have that responsibility. But specifically here in this Christian school, there are specific ones who are there in the classroom each day who have the opportunity to impart spiritual truth to young people that are in this school every day. And you are here in the place of God. You are here in the place of Jesus Christ imparting that truth. You say, Bill, why do you say that? Read 2 Corinthians 5:20. Paul speaking to the Corinthian believers. What did he say? He said, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Paul specifically said he was there, put there in the place of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, giving them eternal spiritual truths. That is what you are in that classroom. And I urge you tonight, I urge you, you have an awesome responsibility. And I urge you to not take that lightly. I know how easy it is in this day and age and the pressures that we have in this world and the things that we deal with every day and the problems that you deal with in the classroom. But you have to understand that there are eternal souls in front of you. And you are put there. And this verse is saying, they shall be all taught. Everyone who hears that message and accepts that message is taught of God. They have heard and they have learned of the Father, and they have come unto Jesus Christ. Now, how does that happen? That happens by the power of the Holy Spirit, of course. But you are there as the messenger. You are there given and charged with the responsibility of imparting that message to them. When we were down in Orlando this past week, a man said something that I thought was interesting. He said, there's a difference between information and communication. information is imparting the knowledge. Communication is getting through with the knowledge. We're charged with the responsibility of imparting the knowledge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to get through to the heart. But we have the responsibility of what we have to do. As I've thought about this passage, and I've thought about Santa Rosa Christian School and this ministry here, and I've meditated upon this, I realize what an amazing blessing it is for us to be here, folks. It is an amazing thing. We could have been born 50 miles away and not had an opportunity to be in a place where the Word of God is taught, where we have the opportunity to meet together as believers, we have an opportunity to send our kids to Christian schools, to have them under the influence of Christian teachers. That is an amazing blessing. I think about that in my life, and that by the sovereign grace of God to be placed in this place. For 13 years to sit under the teaching of godly men and women who were examples to me, who even though I didn't understand, even though I didn't appreciate it at the time, they were there every day, a faithful testimony, a faithful example, imparting the Word of God. And you know what? When it says, every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned, you know, sometimes the hearing and the learning doesn't take place immediately. Sometimes the hearing and the learning takes place years afterwards. So don't give up. Don't get discouraged if you don't see the results. You know, there are some that listened. There are some that heard. But sadly, there are some that do not. There are some, we maybe even could say, that maybe most do not. But tonight, I want to just encourage you in this first week of school. I know everyone is tired. It's getting back into the routine of school. But don't lose sight of what your spiritual ministry is here. You guys have an awesome responsibility. I have often said, your job, and we all have our place in the body, I certainly understand that, we all fill our roles, but your jobs are so much more important than what I do. Your jobs to be in front of those children every day, that's just an awesome responsibility. And I thank everyone who gives of themselves, and I encourage you to just keep on keeping on, stay in the Word, stay in the Spirit, and do your job and impart the teachings and the lessons that God gives you. You know, Todd and I were talking some time ago, and I thought about this. I was watching TV one night, and they were showing something on TV, and they said, it's kind of silly, but they said they were mentioning Elvis's home, and they called it, you know, of course, they call it Graceland. And I just, for some reason, that just hit me, and I just kind of thought, that's an odd thing to call. Why do they call it Graceland? And then I got to thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? This place right here is Graceland to me. All my life, grace has been imparted to me right here on this campus, in this ministry, by faithful men and women, some of who are not with us anymore, some who are still with us. And I'm thankful for that. And I just want to encourage you tonight to keep on keeping on. I want to finish with a letter. This was a letter that was written from the perspective of a parent to his children. This is a letter from a 19th century father. But I just want you to listen for just 1 minute to just the heart of this father to his children. It is written from the perspective of a parent to a child, but folks, it's the same perspective as a teacher in the classroom, as an administrator in the classroom dealing with young people. The same heart that this man has should be the same heart that we have as faculty and staff and supporters here at Santa Rosa Christian School. The man's name was John Angel James. He wrote this in 1825. It's called The Christian Father's Present to His Children. He said, "My dear children, never did I pass a more truly solemn or interesting moment than that in which you, my firstborn child, was put into my arms and I felt that I was a father. A new comfort was produced in my heart which every succeeding day has tended to confirm and strengthen. I looked up to heaven and breathed over you the petition of Abraham for his son, oh, that he might live before you. Recognizing that in this little helpless being, which had been so recently introduced into our world, there was a creature born for eternity, and who, when the sun shall be extinguished, would still be soaring in heaven or sinking in hell, I returned to my closet for private devotion and solemnly dedicated you to the God who had given me your precious life. And I earnestly prayed that whatever might be your lot in this world, you might be a partaker of true holiness and numbered with the saints in everlasting glory. He moves on, another excerpt. Genuine love desires and seeks for the object on which it is fixed, the greatest benefits of which it is capable. And as you have a capacity to serve, enjoy, and glorify God, how can we love you in reality if we do not covet for you this highest and holiest distinction? We should feel that our love had exhausted itself upon trifles and had let go objects of immense, infinite, eternal consequence if we were not to concentrate all our prayers, desires, and efforts on your personal salvation. We have presented ceaseless prayer to God for your salvation. As soon as reason dawned, we poured the light of religious instruction into your mind. You can't even remember the time when these efforts began. Have we not instructed and warned and admonished and encouraged you as we laid open to your view the narrow path that leads to eternal life? Almost every parent has some one object which he desires above all others on behalf of his children. Our supreme ambition for you is this, that whatever situation you occupy, you may adorn it with the beauty of holiness and discharge its duties under the influence of Christian principles. Much as we might desire your respectability in life, we would rather see you in the most obscure, even menial situation, provided you were a partaker of true holiness, than behold you on the loftiest pinnacle of the temple of fame, the object of universal admiration, if, at the same time, your heart was destitute of the fear of God. That is the heart that we should have for these students that are here. We want them to have the best in life. We want them to maximize their abilities. But most of all, we want them to leave here as Christian believers with the fear of God in their heart. And I just pray that that would be our focus this year in Santa Rosa Christian School.